Hi there, folks. This is Dara Starr Tucker, and welcome to the All Over the Place podcast. Brand new name. Still trying to get used to it myself. I'm really glad you're here. In case this is your first time listening to the podcast, I do this podcast now in cooperation with a station called KJLH, where I do a weekly radio show. So I get to bring you those episodes on a weekly basis, and oftentimes it is the elongated version, the director's cut that I don't get to share with my radio audience because I have really tight time constraints. So I love sharing the full version of these episodes with you all here on the All Over the Place podcast. I hope you enjoy what I have in store for you today. I want to put out a fair warning that this is a pretty heavy topic. I think it's an important topic, but if you are triggered by things like depression and anxiety and even some talk of suicide, this is probably not the episode for you. So just want to put that out there to make sure that we are not unnecessarily triggering ourselves with these discussions. They can be really heavy. But if you're able to stick it out with me, I think there's some good stuff here that we can all benefit from. And just a little programming note, for the month of May, I'm actually going to be doing a couple of long form interviews with two of my favorite mutuals. The first is a two-part interview series with a friend of mine named Kasim Rashid. He's a human rights lawyer. He is a radio host. And we had the chance to have a couple of really, really interesting conversations about things like affirmative action and voting rights. I think you're going to really enjoy these conversations. So I've got two interviews coming up with Kasim Rashid. And then I'm also talking to a mutual of mine named Garrison Hayes. He is a filmmaker. He is a social justice activist online. Garrison and I are going to be talking about a variety of things, but one of the main things I wanted to focus on with Garrison is the state of Christianity in the Black community. He just recently did an incredible long-form essay on this. If you don't know about Garrison, I would encourage you to check him out on YouTube. He's under Garrison Hayes. He's on all platforms, but he puts a lot of his long-form content on YouTube. And he does something kind of similar to what I do, but still from his own point of view. So I am super looking forward to a two-part conversation with Garrison Hayes as well. These are two long-form conversations I have coming up in the month of May. I'm really looking forward to being able to share those with you all. As far as my touring schedule goes, I will be making an appearance at the Women's Empowerment Conference that's going to be hosted by KJLH in Long Beach. That's May 11th. You would go to kjlhradio.com to register. It's totally free. So if you are in the Southern California area, that's one way that we can meet in person. I'm going to be doing some travel to DC and to Nashville to do some other appearances and performances, but I also will be hosting the Legal Defense Fund's red carpet this year. You may know that the activism wing of the NAACP, the Legal Defense Fund, who's actually responsible for Brown versus Board of Education, they host a dinner every year where they honor people who have made a difference in the civil rights community. This year, I think they're honoring Spike Lee. Well, I will be hosting the red carpet of that event this year on the 16th of May in New York. But so far this year, the only thing on the docket performance-wise for music happens on the 21st of July in Philadelphia at a club called South Jazz Kitchen. As far as I know, the tickets are not available yet for that event, but I'm just letting you all know if you are in the Philadelphia area, if you're anywhere nearby, the 21st of July, I'll be doing two shows at South in Philly. I want to remind you, too, about the Patreon. If you are not a regular patron, that is one way that you can consistently support the work that I do. Patreon.com/Dara Starr Tucker. That ensures that I can bring you these podcasts with great consistency. We don't have to worry that they will ever go away. Patrons make it possible for me to share what I do on a consistent basis with a wider audience. I love my patrons. If you consistently listen to the work that I do, I would encourage you to become even a $5 patron. I love $5 patrons because that doesn't hurt, right? Just $5 a month does not hurt most people. You don't really think about it. Some people choose to bill it on an annual basis. They'll do $50 and it charges their card once, and that provides a year's worth of support. And it makes a huge difference to us as creators to know that we have consistent patrons who make our work possible. So thank you to those of you who have already signed up for the Patreon. If you have not, it is patreon.com/Dara Starr Tucker. You can also visit darastartucker.com to pick up merchandise from The Breakdown. You may know that I do a regular series on my socials called The Breakdown. Well, I have merch there on my website. My radio show is also called The Breakdown. So we've got t-shirts, we've got mugs, all sorts of things to show your support for The Breakdown. And if you all would like for us to create All Over the Place swag, let me know and we'll get some of that stuff put up online as well. So I'm going to send you over now to this week's show on mental health and the Black community. I hope you enjoy this. Again, if this topic is a bit heavy for you, I would say to sit this one out. But I hope you're able to appreciate and absorb it because it's a topic that's really, really close to my heart. So you have a wonderful day. Take care of each other, and I will see you next week. Well, hello there. I'm Dara Starr Tucker, and this is The Breakdown. Thank you so much for joining me on KJLH for another episode of The Breakdown, where we are going to talk about the issues that matter. I'm so glad to be with you today to talk about a very important topic that is not the easiest thing to talk about, but it's been weighing pretty heavily on me, so we are going to get into it today. You can find me on the KJLH Instagram page. If you would like to give me any feedback about anything that you hear on the show, find me at Radio Free KJLH on Instagram. You can also find me on my personal page. That is Dara Tucker B on Instagram. And everywhere else, I am Dara Starr Tucker. That's Dara with one R and Star with two. I'm on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Threads. If they create anything else, I'm going to be there too under Dara Starr Tucker. I'm inviting you to follow me online. I have a lot of content around a variety of subjects. I do what I call breakdowns that are really mini documentaries that if you like the content that you hear here on KJLH, you would probably appreciate a lot of what I do outside of KJLH. So join me on my socials to see some pretty tightly produced pieces on things like Black maternal mortality rates, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I did a full 10-minute piece on a gospel singer named John P. Key that a lot of you probably know, going into his history. And I have a breakdown underway right now on the song Colors of the Wind from the movie Pocahontas. I'm examining how the movie and even the song Colors of the Wind itself both tributed Native culture and exploited it simultaneously. So if those kinds of topics sound like they are of interest to you, join me on my social media platforms, Dara Tucker B., on Instagram and Dara Starr Tucker everywhere else. Now, before we get into this week's topic, I want to quickly remind you that I will be attending the Women's Empowerment Conference that KJLH is putting on. This is happening on the 11th of May. It is completely free to register for. You can go to KJLH online to sign up for it. And I've been telling you guys for the last couple of weeks that we're still working on the plan for exactly what I'm going to be doing at this conference. The plan is coming together bit by bit. We're still working on details I'm not quite ready to share, but we have something very special in store for you. So I'm excited to meet you all in person. Go to KJLH online to sign up for the Women's Empowerment Conference that's happening on May 11th. I will see you there. Now, the topic that we are getting in today, I feel like I need to give a bit of a trigger warning. This can be a very heavy subject to talk about. If you are triggered by things like depression, anxiety, and even suicide, this may not be the episode for you. I would say to step away and join us next time if those topics are triggering to you in any way, shape, or form. Now, we're going to talk about Black mental health today. What is the state of mental health for Black people in America? I've been meditating on this subject for several days now. Many of you may remember a singer named Mandisa, who was on, I think, the fifth season of American Idol. She ended up finishing ninth. She did not win, but she was a very memorable contestant for a lot of reasons. And I can't say that I've really necessarily followed Mandisa's career, but Mandisa passed away a few days ago. She passed away about a week ago. And we don't know the cause of her death yet, but Mandisa was a very vocal spokesperson for mental health issues, specifically depression, which is something that she dealt with for years. And I sort of vaguely followed Mandisa's career from afar. I really did not know a lot about her as a person. I know a lot of people who do know her. I used to live in Nashville, Tennessee, which is where she lived. So I know a lot of people in the music industry that were very much connected to her. But I did not know Mandisa personally, and I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what happened to her after Idol, except to know that she was a CCM singer. She was a contemporary Christian music singer. She had a huge hit in 2013 called Overcomer that was featured on Good Morning America, Robin Roberts, when she was going through her cancer diagnosis. That song was a great inspiration to her. So they became good friends, and she was on Good Morning America a lot. So she had a fairly high-profile career after American Idol, and she always seemed like a very happy, upbeat sort of person, the kind of person that you might be surprised to hear was going through a lot of mental health struggles behind the scenes. So Mandisa was found dead in her home. She was 47 years old. She was found dead in her home about a week ago. And again, not knowing what happened to her, not having any kind of confirmation about a cause of death. I don't want to get into any speculation about that with her situation specifically. We do know that she talked quite a bit about her mental health struggles, and we do know that she dealt with suicidal ideations. This is something she talked about quite frequently. She wrote about, she wrote a book called Out of the Dark about those mental health struggles. She had an album that was all about coming out of that dark place that she was in for many years.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
My name is Koji.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is the Japanese America Podcast. So this is where we look at all things Japanese American. We will bring alive the history, culture, and people that make up this diverse community.
In this month's episode, we'll examine Koji's unique family history.
To help bring this story alive, we brought on actor and comedian Derek Mio.
He was reported to be extremely pro-Japanese and anti-American in sentiment. Her husband was taken into custody by the military authorities under a warrant authorized by the Secretary of War.
Who was his enemy of the United States? He was my grandfather on my dad's side. To hear more stories about Japanese America, you can listen to this podcast anywhere you normally download your podcast.
And it just kind of shook the foundation. It shook my faith in a way where I was questioning a lot. And as Casting Crown sings, it's a slow fade. I just went deeper and deeper into that pit and really struggled with my faith and struggled with depression in a way that I hadn't before. And so Out of the Dark is really the songs that I was writing. They were being very honest about this battle with depression. And so this book is really a continuation of that. And it's, you know, it's a journey. It's not, I can't say that I have arrived and I'm, you know, depression is behind me and I'm no longer struggling with that. Mm-hmm. I can say that it's a journey that God has me on.
So it was just jarring for me to see someone who had been so honest about their struggle, who had been so upfront about working towards coming out of this very, very dark place, pass away in this sudden way. We're all hoping at this point that it's not what we think it may be, and we have to wait to find that out. But her passing really has me thinking a lot about Black mental health. What is the state of mental health in the Black community? I was also reminded this week of a woman named Chesley Christ, and she was a reporter for the entertainment news outlet called Extra. She was Miss USA in 2019. She was gorgeous. She seemed to have everything. But in 2022, she took her own life. And this story really shook me to my core. It still does, honestly. And today, ironically, is Chesley's birthday, April 28th. And much like Mandisa, she was so bubbly and so full of life, and you never would have known that she was going through any sort of a health crisis. And according to the news reports, she jumped from a high-rise window in her New York apartment. And it came as a surprise to a lot of the people around her because she was just so vivacious and so happy and presented so well. People had absolutely no idea that she was going through severe depression behind the scenes. And I'm reminded of Chesley this week because her mother, who is now an advocate for people dealing with mental health issues, has released Chesley's posthumous memoir called By the Time You Read This. I saw her mother recently discussing this book on the Tamron Hall Show and CBS This Morning, and this was a story that Chesley wanted to share with the world. Even though she was hiding her struggle with depression, and her mother said she really wouldn't have wanted anyone to know about this, but she's hoping now that Chesley's story can help people in the struggles that they're dealing with. As you all may remember, a couple of weeks ago, I did a show on medical racism, and I talked about the maternal mortality rate. I talked about kidney transplants in the Black community. And a lot of those stats and figures that you find when you're researching things like this can be so jarring and so disconcerting. Why is our physical health in so much worse shape than so many other racial groups, than every other racial group? We have higher risk factors for pretty much every illness that there is than any other group. And unfortunately, it's no different when it comes to mental health. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, Black people are 20% more likely to deal with mental health crises than the general population. We're talking about things like depression and anxiety, PTSD, suicide. But the catch is that only 25% of us are likely to seek out help with our mental health versus 40% of white people. Now, according to the National Alliance to End Homelessness, being unhoused can lead to a higher likelihood of mental health issues, as well as a person's exposure to violence. And unfortunately, Black folks are 40% of the homeless population. We're about 13% of the population at large, but we make up 40% of the homeless population, which increases our risk of mental health crises exponentially. We are also more likely than any other racial group to be exposed to violence, which is also a factor in mental health crises. One of the other really interesting things that we're learning about mental health in this age of gene research is that trauma can be passed down generationally through something called intergenerational transmission. And this means literally, if you have ancestors who have gone through trauma, you are more likely to experience mental health crises because of what your ancestors went through. This kind of thing can be passed down through your genes. And very similarly, we now know that stress can affect the way that a fetus develops. If a mother is under high stress during her pregnancy, that can affect a fetus in the womb. Now, I want to tell you, this is a subject that really hits home for me these days. I would never have thought that I would be the type of person to struggle with my mental health. I definitely went through depressive episodes. I would say I was a very melancholy teenager. I'll put it like that. By the time I got into my 20s and I was in college and a little bit thereafter, I started to notice that those mild depressive or melancholy episodes were really becoming much more serious and much more extended. Sometimes they would last for months at a time. I was still pretty high functioning. I could do what I needed to do, but I noticed that my mood and my spirits were just consistently low. I just wasn't having a good time in life. And this is supposed to be a really happy time in a person's life. When they're in college, they're in young adulthood, they don't really have a whole lot of responsibility. Their whole life is ahead of them. But life really just started to feel like a slog at that time. And I didn't seek out any professional help because, frankly, I did not have insurance. And there were a whole lot of other mitigating factors, which I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, that impact why a lot of Black folks do not seek out help with their mental health. But, you know, I had family, frankly, who dealt with the same thing. It was something that I saw around me all the time. And so I just thought, well, this is just how our family is. This is just how we cope with stuff. We deal with these low episodes and then we just move on. I was doing a little bit better than the generation before me, so I figured I would get through it. And I kind of did get through it, but it took a lot longer than it probably should have. Now, fast forward to the pandemic. It had been a lot of years since I really struggled with anything mental health related, but suddenly I found myself dealing with some pretty severe anxiety. And I was someone who didn't even really know. When people would say, I have anxiety, I didn't really know what they meant. I had never really felt the feeling of anxiety. But I started dealing with this in a pretty severe way during the pandemic, to the point that I had to seek treatment for the first time in my life. And I had to go on medication for a time to manage those symptoms. I was fortunate to have a Black female therapist at that time. And she let me know that they were struggling during the pandemic, trying to keep up with the demand for therapists because so many people were seeking treatment for depression and anxiety and all kinds of other mental health challenges. So at the very least, I knew that I wasn't alone, even though I was dealing with something that I did not understand. But this subject is very near and dear to my heart. And I think a lot of us end up suffering needlessly, particularly in the Black community, for a variety of reasons. Because we are hesitant or we're afraid of seeking out mental health care. Now, I quoted that statistic earlier from the Department of Health and Human Services that only 25% of Black people who are dealing with mental health struggles are likely to seek out treatment versus 40% of white people who are dealing with mental health struggles. So what are the reasons for this? Why are we less likely to seek help for mental health issues than other groups are? Well, there are many reasons, but I'm going to tell you the top 7 reasons that I have identified. The number one reason I would say is a distrust of Western medicine. Modern psychotherapy was created by Western Europeans. Freud, the father of modern psychotherapy, was an Austrian man. There tends to be a lot of distrust of even the concept of psychotherapy within the Black community because that is not our tradition. That is a Western tradition, and many of our traditions are based upon Eastern philosophies. We depend a lot on our community to get us through things, and we depend a lot on our faith. So for a lot of folks, you know, this psychotherapy, now I don't know nothing about that. I know something about Jesus. Give me Jesus. I don't need them doctors. And I've heard that all my life from elder family members and church folks. I've heard sermons preached against going to the psychologist. Psychotherapy is just something that isn't really thought of as culturally Black. for a lot of people. The number two reason, there is a huge stigma within a lot of the Black community that you are crazy, quote unquote, if you need to see a therapist or a psychiatrist. This is old school thinking, but it is still quite prevalent in a lot of corners of our community. Oh, I'm not going and seeing a psychologist. I'm not crazy. I may be having a few struggles, but I'm not crazy like that. The minute that you have to go see a professional, it goes into a bit of a different territory. Now you're sick. And again, speaking from a very personal perspective, I have had several family members on both sides of my family that have had very serious mental health crises. So the interaction that I saw growing up between my family and the mental health community was one of intervention. These were true blue mental health crises that developed with several of my family members that often spiraled into violence and authorities having to be called and things like this. That was my perception of what the mental health community was there to do. Meaning that if somebody had to be called to help you with your mental health, you were probably on the verge of being committed. Like for us, there was no in between. So for us, psychiatrists, mental health specialists, we only saw them if somebody was close to being a danger to themselves or others. You didn't just go hang out in the office of a mental health professional. That would almost be tantamount to hanging out with the police. And I know that sounds strange to say, but that's how it was. Everybody's got that uncle or that cousin that hangs out in the back room that he doesn't really come out very much. He's the one that needs the psychiatrist, not me. So a lot of it's our perception about what the role of mental health professionals really is. The number three reason in the Black community, family business stays in the family. You don't go out there sharing your business with these folks. We don't just talk about anything to anybody. We keep that within the family. We don't want you out here spilling family secrets. I don't want you out here lying on me and misrepresenting me and telling some doctor that I'm the villain. We keep our business within the family. That's just how we do it. The number four reason that a lot of Black folks tend to not seek out adequate mental health care, we're strong. We should just be able to power through this. I got through it. Your granddaddy got through it. Our ancestors, they went through slavery. They got through it. They went through Jim Crow. We are strong. Black people are strong. We're not weak. We don't need doctors to help us with our mental health issues. We take the hits again and again. We keep pushing forward, seeking help from the outside. That is a sign of weakness for a lot of us. Now, reason number five that a lot of Black folks do not seek out proper mental health care is the lack of adequate insurance. 10% of the Black community is not covered by health insurance, which is twice as high as any other racial group. And before the Affordable Care Act, that number was much higher. But right now, 10% of us are uninsured, which has a huge impact on whether or not you seek out a behavioral health specialist. Never mind that many of them don't take insurance at all. So we can add financial struggles to that as well. If we don't feel that we can afford a mental health specialist, we're not likely to seek one out. Reason number six that Black people are less likely to seek out help with their mental health is that we are treated differently when we do. There have been studies that show that when we seek out help with our mental health, we are not cared for in the same way that other racial groups are. Which leads me to my last point, reason number seven that Black folks are less likely to seek out mental health help. There is a dearth of Black mental health professionals. Black behavioral health specialists only make up about 4% of the profession. And again, we are 13% of the population, but only 4% of behavioral specialists are Black. And I have a sister who's a licensed therapist, and she's only a few years out of grad school, and she has her own practice now. And she talks about this all the time. The road hasn't been easy for her, but it has not been difficult for her to acquire clients and start her own practice because she is a specialist in Black mental health. People are seeking out Black therapists in droves now. And as few Black mental health specialists as we have now, can you imagine what it was like 10 or 20 or 30 years ago? How likely would you be as a Black person struggling with your mental health in 1984 to get adequate care versus 2024? It's a struggle now, but it was much worse at that time. So there's now a push to get more young Black people to join the mental health profession, to study that in college, and to get those certifications because there is such a need for Black mental health care specialists.
Now, I want to talk specifically about Black mental health care as it relates to three groups: young Black people, Black women, and Black men. Many people may not know that there is a crisis in mental health right now happening among young Black people. Many of them report being subjected to violence and racism at very high levels right now, particularly on social media. I was surprised to learn that suicide rates among young Black people, meaning under the age of 18, suicide rates among young Black people had doubled from 2014 to the height of the pandemic a few years ago. And of course, mental health crises were at an all-time high across the board during the pandemic. But for those suicide rates for young Black people to jump up to twice what they were in 2014, that is jarring. And they partly attribute that to the fact that COVID had a much more detrimental impact on the Black community than it had on anyone else. We were dying at a much higher rate than other groups were. Young Black people were much more likely to have lost a parent to COVID than any other group was. Younger Black people are also dealing with less generational wealth. They're dealing with more financial insecurity and less access to mental health experts. And they are also treated differently in the healthcare space than other kids are. This happens with children as well. And how are these issues affecting Black women? Black women are much more likely to suffer with mental health issues, but we are much less likely to seek out help for our mental health issues. And a lot of this, I think, goes back to that strong Black woman trope. We feel like we have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We have to be there for everybody else. Never let them see you sweat. You have to single-handedly keep this ship afloat. You're responsible for your children. You're taking care of your partners. You're taking care of your parents. We have a lot on us, but we really aren't allowed to show the fragility that other groups are allowed to show as women. So what do? We tend to lean on our faith a lot more than other groups. We hold to God's unchanging hand and we don't let it go. A lot of churches, you'll notice, are filled with a lot of Black women who are getting through the best they can. They are utilizing those resources of community to get through their difficult times. They are depending on their faith in God. And they are powering through just like their mothers did and their grandmothers before them. And what about Black men? Black men are half as likely to pursue mental health counseling as white men. And I think for men in general, they are much more likely to see it as a threat to their masculinity. I should not need help. If I'm seeking outside help, that's a sign of weakness. But I think there are even more societal constraints on Black men in this area. You got to shake that stuff off and present a strong front to society because nobody wants to see a quote unquote weak man. And I think Black men travel a very difficult road in this area, even more so than us. Because as a woman, even if you are expected to be strong, if you are seen reaching out for help, that is not seen as an affront to your femininity. But if you are a man, if you are a Black man and you're seeking out help with mental health, that stigma that still exists around mental health in the Black community is so much worse for Black men. I mean, our fathers and grandfathers didn't need therapy, supposedly, so why should you? And then on top of that, that statistic that I quoted earlier, where only 4% of mental health specialists are Black, I'm going to give you a few seconds to guess for me what percentage of those 4% of mental health specialists, what percent of that 4% do you think are men versus women? So in other words, 4% of mental health specialists are Black. So of that 4%, what percentage do you think are men? Give you a countdown, little Jeopardy music here. 8%. 8% of Black mental health specialists are men. So if you are a Black man who is needing help with your mental health, what are the chances that you are going to find another Black man to talk to? And that's not to say that only a Black man can help another Black man with his mental health, but it is to say that many Black men would feel much more comfortable seeking out help with their mental health if they knew that they could find another Black man to talk to. And what is the likelihood that they will be able to find someone that they feel comfortable talking to? Not very high. Not very high. And that is a really discouraging number. So as I said, there are initiatives around encouraging more young Black people to enter the mental health profession. This is something that is desperately needed in our community. More Black mental health specialists. So if there are young Black people in your life, particularly Black men, who seem like they might be inclined to enter the mental health space, let them know that they will be in very, very high demand. They are unlikely to deal with unemployment or underemployment because they are much needed in that space right now. And you know, I talk about these topics that are often very heavy because I want us to be okay. I want us to be all right. If we need help, we need to be able to seek out that help without fear of being stigmatized or being judged, particularly around the issue of mental health. And if you're dealing with mental health crises, there are always avenues for you to get the help that you need. You can always dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Prevention Hotline. There are specialists on the other end of that line that can help you walk through those mental health crises and can hopefully help you transition into more comprehensive care in the long term. Let's seek out care. Let's not be afraid to say, I'm struggling right now. Things are difficult, but I know I can get through this with the right kind of help. Well, that's my time for this week. My name is Dara Starr Tucker. You can find me on Instagram at Dara Tucker B or on the KJLH Instagram page at Radio Free KJLH. You can also download their app and listen to this show at any time. You can listen to us in podcast form at KJLHradio.com. Catch up with any of the shows that you may have missed online. And don't forget to register for the Women's Empowerment Conference that's happening on May 11th. Go to kjlhradio.com to sign up for that. It's completely free. I'm looking forward to seeing you all at that event. Until we meet face to face, you all take good care of yourselves. Take care of each other. As the saying goes, check on your strong friends. Everybody needs a little love and a little extra care from time to time. Let's not forget to make those very important connections whenever we can. Thank you for joining me here on The Breakdown. I look forward to seeing you next week. And until then, let's learn to shout.